How do you do? Like messages on the internet, rippling on and on, we know not where a man or woman's life touches others, affecting endless destinies. The life of the man and woman in this story was like that. They left no children to carry on their heritage, but their impact goes on through their story because their hearts and minds and lives were unshackled. Revealing the way, the truth, and the life, this is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Their hearts may be troubled when they come to Pacific Garden Mission, but homeless people are made to feel at home with showers, fresh clothing, a meal, and a clean bunk for the night. Everything is free to the homeless, even medical and dental care in the Mission Clinic, thanks to friends who send financial gifts. People are drawn to the light that shines in the old lighthouse, but how to ease their troubled hearts? Pastors and counselors share the answer, asking, "Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" The answer may surprise you, and the answer brings peace in the midst of turmoil. We share the answer through this program that goes out to the world in 11 languages. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3157 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Oh my, this road is rough.
The map showed it wasn't paved.
Oh, country roads in Canada are like the U.S., gravel or dirt.
Rain didn't help. Made the road muddy and slippery.
Oh, I hope we don't get stuck, Les. We're a long way from hell.
I'm trying not to, Grace. Uh-oh. I better see what we've gotten into. Hey, Grace, slide up under the steering wheel and give it a little gas when I say go. I'll see if I can push us out of this rut.
Okay.
Not too much gas now. Go! Hey, stop! No, we're in too deep. With that load in the trailer, we're going to need help. Like you said, we're a long way from help.
Help was closer than they expected, but the couple in our story had learned not to worry. They were traveling musicians, not unlike musicians today, but with a different purpose. This is the testimony of Lester and Grace Place from the classic files of Unshackled.
I was born and grew up on a farm in eastern Pennsylvania where, like any farm boy, I learned the meaning of hard work. My dad saw to that. In the summer, we loaded hay in the field with a team of horses and an old-fashioned hay loader. Dad pushed me to the limit, and they stopped the horses for a rest.
What's the matter, Lester? Hay coming in a little fast for you?
It sure is. We must have raked too heavy a window. The more I fight the hay, the faster it comes in. If you hadn't stopped the horses when you did, I was ready to drop.
Take a rest, then. Not too long, though. I'd like to put up this whole field today.
Hey, Dad, I was planning to go to the Chautauqua show this evening.
I forgot all about that. Fella told me he saw them putting up the big tent over in Red Hill.
It's going to be a great show.
Then we'd better finish our work so you can get over there. Come on, Dolly and Sam.
That night, sitting in a big tent along with other Pennsylvania farm people, I was completely carried away by what I saw and heard. The next day, as Dad and I shifted the fresh-cured hay in the barn loft, my thoughts lingered on the night before.
That's good enough, son. Now go on down to the wagon and set the grapple forks again.
Sure, Dad. Man, is it hot!
Sure is. Any man who's ever moved loose hay in a barn on a hot day ought to take seriously the idea of hell.
Dad, last night a guy played an instrument at Chautauqua that I never saw before. I never heard anything like the sound it made.
What kind of instrument?
They called it a marimba, and it makes the most beautiful music I ever heard. I'd love to play one of those.
What does a thing like that cost?
I don't know. Plenty, I guess, because it's big.
Better find out before your imagination runs away with you. Now get on down and set those grapple forks, son.
Hey, do you suppose I could get a marimba and take some lessons?
Sure, if you're willing to earn the money yourself. Go on now, set the forks, We've got hay to put up.
The marimba cost $250, the equivalent of more than $2,000 now. But I was determined to own one and took every odd job I could find. I saved my money and bought the instrument. The local music store owner delivered it and set it up in our home. He gave me lessons for several years, and then I took lessons from a music teacher in Reading. My older sister, Mildred, also learned to play the marimba, and we began to attract attention as a musical team.
Lester, how would you like to play in a church?
Well, I'd much rather play with a big band somewhere, say over at Sunnybrook.
I know, but we've been invited to play at a church in town.
And you said...
Yes. I hope you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. Only thing is, we'll have to sit there after we play and listen to all the preaching.
It won't hurt you none. How often do you go to church anyway, Lester?
Why, I go very regularly. Every Easter.
That's what I mean. Let's get to work and practice some sacred music.
From then on, we were in demand by churches all over our part of the state. I guess I heard every kind of preaching there is, good, bad, and in between. What I heard didn't penetrate, though. Some of it actually annoyed me.
So that preacher got under your skin, did he, Lester?
Well, what right does he have to tell people they're sinners?
The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
And how come he stands there and tells us that until we receive Christ, we're headed for hell?
That's what the Bible says.
Well, if I'm a sinner, it's my business, not his.
Lester, we've got a big apple orchard on this place, don't we?
Yes.
And we have to prune the trees, don't we?
Well, of course. If trees aren't pruned, they grow wild and they don't bear the right kind of fruit.
Exactly. But have you noticed that I never prune my own trees?
I know. You prune the neighbor's trees and he comes and prunes yours.
Ever wonder why?
Well, I've never thought much about it. We've always done it that way.
Then I'll tell you why. It's because a really good pruning job calls for deep cuts. You have to take off a lot of branches that you hate to see go. But if they don't go, you'll have a bad tree. Now, the average man doesn't have the heart to prune his own trees back as much as they need. But when it comes to another guy's orchard, he can just go in and cut as much as it needs.
What does that got to do with preaching?
A good preacher talks about sin because he's trying to prune away the bad branches from our lives.
I wasn't much interested in God or the Bible then. I was bursting with my own plans. I found a job as a hosiery knitter in a big mill and saved to buy a car of my own. I didn't know it at the time, but the car I bought was the progenitor of the Army Jeep, a 1933 Willys. It was a proud day when I drove that car into the yard.
Why, Lester, don't tell me you've gone and bought a car.
How do you like her?
Why, it's beautiful. A little small, maybe.
We'll get a trailer. And then when we go out to play for people, we can put our instruments in the trailer.
You think it can haul a trailer?
You bet. Get in. Let me show you how much power this car's got. Why, you'd think it had a panther under the hood. That car enlarged my scope of activity at just the right time. One Sunday morning in Spring City, we performed with our marimba while a young lady named Grace played the piano in church. After the service ended, I made a point of talking with her.
Your music is beautiful, Lester.
Well, you play beautifully too, Grace.
Thank you.
Yeah. You play beautifully.
You already said that. Yeah. Pretty soon I'll begin to believe it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, do you like apples?
Apples?
You know, apples.
Yes, why?
Then I'll bring you a basket. A bushel basket.
A bushel basket of apples? Isn't that an awful lot of apples?
Oh, that's nothing. We've got apples and apples. Not on my dad's farm, that is.
I see.
Well, why don't I bring you a basket tomorrow?
Well, that would be very sweet of you.
Good. Tell me where you live.
From then on, my poor mother was deluged with apples. I think we had more applesauce than any family in the state of Pennsylvania. At first, Mother was pleased. In time, though, with basket after basket of apples in the cellar and the shelves loaded with jars of applesauce, she was less enthusiastic. But she did manage to keep her sense of humor.
You know, Grace, I finally found a verse in the Bible that explains your young man.
Oh? What verse, Mother?
It's in the Song of Solomon. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Except in my case, it's comfort me with love, for I am sick of apples.
Mother, that's terrible.
Not far away was a famous dance pavilion called Sunnybrook. Each Saturday night, it featured a famous dance orchestra. We began going there regularly and always stayed to the very end. Then in Lester's panther-powered four-cylinder car, we'd go home.
That was some band, wasn't it?
Oh, it was great.
Grace, how would you like to travel around the country with a bunch of musicians like that?
Oh, I don't know. I never thought about it.
Man, if I could play with a group like that, I'd be in my glory.
Oh, you play beautifully. You could do it.
I'm sure going to try.
I'd better be getting into the house.
Grace, I want to tell you, I'm going into the hospital in a few weeks.
Oh, what for?
Surgery.
Is it serious, Les?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. You'll come and visit me, won't you?
Of course. I'll bring you a basket of apples.
In a moment, we'll hear how that hospital visit changed Lester's life. Hundreds of men come to Pacific Garden Mission every day, casualties of the economy or their own poor choices. Some stay only a few nights, but even they hear God's truth, the way He changes lives. Some take notice of what they've heard and stay longer, joining the men's Bible program at the mission. The men's division nurtures and disciples each man according to where he stands. Change comes to them, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Each man is urged not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. In addition to Bible study and prayer, the mission offers classes to help them improve their job skills, and they are assigned various work tasks around PGM. Through counseling, they are often reunited with estranged family members and are able to resolve legal matters. To learn more about this ministry to men, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org.
A few days before my operation, I tuned into a radio program directed at young people. I had never heard it before, but someone told me the music was high quality, so I listened. When the music ended, the preacher's words held my attention.
You can busy yourself in the world seeking fame and fortune, but Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Listen, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Those are strong words, young people, because the stakes are high. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, the wrath of God abideth on you. You can't save yourself from God's wrath, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. He paid the penalty for your sins on the cross so you could spend eternity in heaven. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." No matter where you are or what you've done, God will forgive your sins if you repent and call on the name of the Lord. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
God spoke to me through that broadcast, and I almost decided to give my life to Jesus, but I didn't. Because I lived for music. Music was the passion of my life. A week later, I was in the hospital being prepped for surgery. And as I lay on the operating table, doctors were checking x-rays and charts, nurses hovered, and a young intern gave me a shot.
"We're about ready, Mr. Place. You'll begin to feel a little drowsy in a few minutes, and that's fine. Just what we want."
You know, This thing has me kind of worried.
Nothing to it. The surgeon's one of the best.
What's that?
Some of the nurses down the corridor. They sing that every morning.
Through every day, or all the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you.
God will take care of you. Thank you, God. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins against you. Please, forgive me my sin and save my soul. Help me through this operation. I promise to live for you.
Lester, how do you feel, son? You're coming out of it now. This is your old dad. How are you?
Hi, Dad.
You took your own sweet time coming around. How do you feel?
Wonderful. Just wonderful, Dad. God did take care of me. I left the hospital determined to glorify Christ through my music. Instead of jazz, we played hymns, ballads, and sacred melodies. Mildred and I entered an amateur talent contest and won with a marimba duet. Grace! Grace!
What is it, Les? Come in.
A radio station in Philadelphia has invited us to produce a 15-minute program every Sunday afternoon.
Well, that's wonderful, Les. You and Mildred are perfect.
No, it's a trio. You're invited, too.
Me? I don't play the marimba yet.
You can play the piano until you learn the marimba. That's how our musical career began. A nationally known Bible teacher invited us to play for his radio program, and we played at a Christian camp the following summer. We'd become known in wider circles when my sister left the team to focus on her marriage. Grace and I were married in 1936, and I struggled to hold down a job while balancing our busy schedule. But no man can serve two masters. That truth hit home during a sermon one day at camp.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Are you following Jesus? Notice the two prerequisites to following him. You have to deny yourself and take up your cross. Ask yourself what that means and then obey. You may have to give up something you've always wanted. You may have to deny your flesh or other people's expectations. Jesus said, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Surrender your lives completely to God and see what he will do. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." How many of you young people are willing to dedicate your lives to full-time service to the Lord?
It was 1940 when Grace and I, along with many others, stood up that day and surrendered our lives to God's service. We went to a well-known Bible college in Chicago and graduated in 1944. Then we began traveling to all the states in the U.S. and six provinces of Canada. On our way to a rally in Edmonton, Alberta, we got stuck in the mud on a rural road, so we prayed.
Lord, from our perspective, it looks hopeless, but we know that with God, all things are possible.
Yes, Lord. We trust in you to help us get out of this predicament and get to the rally on time. Nevertheless, not our will, but thine be done. We want to be witnesses of your grace, your mercy, and your mighty power.
Well, at least the rain has stopped.
But the mud is the same.
Can we listen to the radio without draining the battery?
For a while.
By transcription, Reverend and Mrs. Lester Place, musical evangelists of Spring City, Pennsylvania, in the United States, will play the well-known hymn, "God Will Take Care of You."
Can you believe it, Grace?
That's our God.
Here we are, stuck in the mud in Canada, listening to ourselves play music.
The Lord assured us that he heard us and that help is on the way.
Oh, you're right. And here comes help.
A man on a tractor?
Yeah, he can pull us out of the mud with that tractor.
Oh.
We were so excited as the man pulled us right out of the mud, along with our trailer that was loaded with half a ton of musical equipment. We got to the rally on time. We always arrived early because we had to set up the musical instruments and sound gear. We traveled with the marimba, saxophone, electric guitar, piano, bells, and triplock of chimes. After the musical part of the program, I would speak. How's your heart? That's the question God wants you to answer tonight. God is interested in your heart, not your head. The Bible speaks about an evil heart. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 12 says, "And ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me." On the other hand, King David wrote in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now notice that you don't make your own heart clean. God has to do that for you. He will create a clean heart in you. He does that through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. When you repent of your sins and believe that Jesus died for your sin, God gives you a heart transplant. At that point, you were born again. God says in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." To be a sinner is one thing. To realize it is another. As the Apostle Paul said, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now, maybe you go to church and consider yourself a good person. I did for years. But if you are without Christ, you are without hope. All you have to do is recognize your sinful nature, repent, and call out to the Lord, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, recently, a young pilot came to hear us and gave his life to Christ. Not long afterward, he crashed in the Pocono Mountains and was killed. But he was ready for eternity. Are you? For 25 years, Grace and I were itinerant evangelists, crossing the country in every direction. In 1966, our story was broadcast on Unshackled, and we returned to the Pacific Garden Mission several times to perform our music and preach the gospel. When we weren't on the road, we went home to eastern Pennsylvania, where we lived and had many friends.
Must be great to be back home again.
It is. I love our ministry to the Lord, but even Jesus took breaks.
Where all did you go this time?
Oh, up and down the coast of California. We stopped off at Pacific Garden Mission on the way home.
I know all about the old lighthouse. When I was in the service, stationed at Fort Sheridan, we'd ride the train to Chicago on weekends and stay at the Servicemen's Center there. Had a nice place to sleep, a good breakfast, and encouragement from God's Word.
You can't ask for more than that.
Kept us going from one week to the other.
It's a great place. The second oldest rescue mission in the country.
Everywhere we go, people have heard our testimony on Unshackled.
You have a wonderful ministry.
You know, people come for the music and we give it to them. And then I talk about Jesus and people are saved as the Spirit of God moves. And even after all these years, it's thrilling.
How long will you be home?
Oh, a week. We have no commitments. No place we have to be.
That's not very long, so I'll be on my way. Give you a chance to be by yourselves.
We want to go for a walk in the woods. All that riding in cars is tiresome.
Even our Lord took time off to get alone with the Father and pray.
See you in church.
Thanks for stopping by. Come on, Grace. Let's go for a hike.
Okay. Oh, it's nice to be home, Les. It's so peaceful here.
Yeah. I've never regretted the decision I made in the hospital so many years ago.
Or the one at camp when we both stood to dedicate ourselves to the Lord's service.
It ended forever my ambition to be a dance hall musician.
And that never could compare with seeing souls come into God's kingdom.
No. We've had a life full of blessing, Grace. What the Bible says is really true. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Recently, we received an email from Lester in Grace Place's neighbor. He wrote,
"We had a couple who lived in Spring City, the musical Places. We spent many an hour together when they were home on break from their evangelistic tours. Lester went home to the Lord about 20 years ago. Grace was still going strong at 93 when cancer struck and the Lord called her home in 2010. I've recently been asked to lead the senior fellowship at my church, and I was wondering if you have their own chapel program that we could share."
When we received that email, we decided to reproduce the Place testimony as a classic, demonstrating Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We hope this program has helped you see the grace of God at work in ordinary people, made extraordinary by his will. If you've never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no better time than now. The Bible declares, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Trust him. If you need help in making this crucial decision for Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. My children love your programs, a listener emailed us recently. To keep these testimonies on the air, let the manager of this radio station know how much you look forward to hearing Unshackled. This is program number 3157, heard in the classic true story of Lester and Grace Place, where Howard Friedland, Mary Jo Faraci, Jamie Barron, Mara Kate Burns, and Dan Frick. Original music, Ralph Colburn. Engineer, Don Badorf. Script, Jack O'Dell and Kenitha Gabler. I'm Don Stroop. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd love to hear from you, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-492-9410.